Avos Perik Hey Mishnah Yud Gimel 5:13 and some Mishnayot it's 5:16. Here we have Arba Midos but no Snei Tzedakah. There are four types of Tzedakah givers. Now, if you look in the Mishnah, you're going to see that actually two of the four aren't giving Tzedakah. So therefore, probably a simple reading would be actually that there are four attitudes towards giving Tzedakah. However, some learn these people are all Tzedakah givers, and as much as like the Alshich explains, like every Jew is a Rachman, he is merciful, and he's a Gomel Chasadim, he wants to do well to others, and therefore every Jew is really a Nosen Tzedakah. It's just that, you know, this guy needs to, you know, overcome certain things that are holding him back. Another pshat is that in yesteryear, the communities essentially would have the ability to force their members to give Tzedakah, etc. So even though these people didn't want to give, ultimately they did give, so they're called Notzi Tzedakah, they just had a bad attitude towards it. Whatever the case is, here we have the four approaches. The first is Harotze Sheyiten Velo Yitnu Acherim. He wants to give, but he doesn't want other people to give. Meaning, he is concerned about the well-being of the needy of his community, but he wants to be the sole person to take care of their needs because he wants to have his name in lights. He wants to get recognition. He wants to be the one. Now, there are worse things in the world than that, put it like that. But that's obviously not ideal. Now, the Bar Tanur actually has a slightly different take, a fascinating line. He says, "Diyodeya shatzedakah ma'asheres." He knows that giving tzedakah makes you rich. "Ve'en rotza she'acherim yis'ashru." He doesn't want other people to become rich. He wants to be the only one who's getting rich from the segula of giving the tzedakah, so he wants to do it himself. Okay, fascinating. Now, a funny thing about that approach is throughout the whole of the Masechta, when we talked about Ayin Tov and Ayin Ra, we didn't mean like stink eye. Ayin Ra didn't mean like you give a bad eye on other people. It meant that you have an Ayin Tova means that you're sort of samech bechalko, you're happy with what you have. You look at it in a positive light. And Ayin Ra means sort of you're insecure with what you have. You feel it's not enough. So here, the way I just read it, it is Ayin Ra. Bishal Acherim means, sorry, if you're giving stink eye, you're looking, you know, negatively towards other people, you begrudge them something. So there's a second pshat in the Bar Tanurah, which doesn't translate Ayin Ra as begrudging, but rather of sort of feeling insecure for another person's, you know, financial situation. So that Bar Tanurah, that pshat is, he says, Yesh mi shechasal mamon krovav yoser mal mamono. There are people who are more concerned about their relatives' money than their own money. Meaning, he wants to give because, you know, there's a needy cause and he wants to support it. But he also has, I don't know, he has his children or he has his parents and the parents live on a pension. He thinks, listen, he feels insecure about his parents' financial situation. So he says, listen, my parents are pensioners. I'd rather have them keep every penny. I'll do all giving myself, essentially begrudging his parents the opportunity to participate in the mitzvah. But here, if that's the pshat, Ayin Ra b'shel Acherim would mean just that. He's insecure in other people's money, meaning he's concerned they don't have enough. That would be a consistent usage of the expression Ayin Ra. The next of the four is Yitnu Acherim v'hu lo yiten. He lets other people give, but he himself doesn't give. That guy is Ayin Ra b'shelo. That person has an Ayin Ra towards his own resources, meaning, you know, he doesn't feel secure in the money he has, therefore he wants to keep it all to himself and save it up. He doesn't want to give it to other people. Now, the Mefarshim asked the question, wait a second, why is this person getting a pass, Ayin Ra? It's worse than that. He's not giving tzedakah. This person is really a Rasha. He's a bad person. The basic part of what it means to be a good person is to be a giver and supporting others. And this guy's not doing it, so why in the world isn't he being called out for being a Rasha, as later on someone else in the Mishnah is? So there are a few possibilities. One pshat is essentially that he ultimately does give, just he has a bad attitude towards it. One pshat is that he would give if there weren't other people to give, but since other people, he lets them do it instead. So in other words, he's concerned about the well-being of the public and the needy, just he himself can't overcome his insecurities about his own finances. But he would if really push came to shove. The Maharal doesn't like any of that. He says, listen, the bottom line is if you're not supporting the community and the needy, you are not a good person. You need to be involved. And therefore, the Maharal understands that pshat is this guy, he is plagued with insecurity in terms of his own finances, but he otherwise takes an active role in supporting the community, meaning he's out there collecting money and making sure that people are, you know, with his person and taking care of their needs and making sure that, you know, he's on the telephone and standing, collecting for the coupon and all that kind of stuff. But he himself just doesn't give because He has a financial security. So that person, he's not a rasha by any means. He's doing the right thing for the community in many ways, but not in the way of giving the money he should be giving. So he's ein ra b'shelo. He simply doesn't have a good attitude towards his own financial situation. The third person is yiten v'yitnu acherim. He wants to give, and he wants other people to give too. That person's a chassid. That person's, of course, above and beyond. So one pshat here would be that, you know, not only does he give what the tzaddik, what the needy people need, but actually he wants other people to give in addition, so they not just have their needs met, but also essentially, you know, they are comfortable. There's a big difference between not being hungry and being comfortable. So he wants the more the merrier because people need things and he wants to see people giving. That person's a chassid. That's he's getting, you know, lauded in the Mishnah. And then lo yiten v'lo yitnu acherim rasha. He doesn't want to give, and he doesn't want other people to give. So that person is a rasha, of course. That's truly cruelty in the greatest degree, and that person is terrible. It could be that he, depending on how you understand the Mishnah a couple of Mishnahs ago about Midas Stom, he could really fall into that category if on principle he's against giving charity. But to put a face on this person who sounds like, you know, really a caricature of wickedness, you know, that people say, listen, if we set up robust charitable infrastructure in our town, our community, we're going to attract needy people, and then we're going to have those kind of people walk around with that kind of clothing and those kind of needs, and they're going to drain our resources. So we're better off essentially building up a fence around our community and not making robust charitable institutions. That way, people go elsewhere. We can be left alone in our little gated community and be comfortable and not have to see and deal with that kind of stuff. That person still is a rasha, but I think you can imagine there are such people that you know who aren't just, you know, openly nasty and cruel, but really it comes from a terrible place. The Midrash Shmuel points out an interesting thing. He says that this same kind of four-tiered system that we're talking about, Nos Nei Tzedakah, could apply to people in their learning as well. I mean, there are some people who learn and want others to learn. Some people want to have all the glory for themselves. Some people don't want to do any learning but have other people do it. So he just says that since this is so common, the attitude toward everyone's given tzedakah or not, and it's an issue that all of us in every community have to deal with. So this is the more relevant and common, and therefore if Mishnah focuses on that here in our Mishnah, but it's equally applicable to people learning Torah. In any case, the takeaway message here for sure is every person has to do what they can. You have to realize everything comes from Hashem in terms of your money, and if you see people who need, it's your opportunity, it's your big chance to help them, it's your schus, and the joy you get from parting with a few bucks will be a lot more than the joy you get from saving those few bucks.